testimony. Really enjoyed the baptism. Really enjoyed being able to see all of you young people come and be baptized. And you know, it's a joy and it's a privilege that God has allowed us to have. And for just a few minutes this morning, we're going to be reading out of the book of Romans chapter number 12, just two verses. I want to talk to you for just a minute about this subject, a living sacrifice. I want to say first, I want to thank the church. You know, God has blessed us. We had a spring fling here Saturday a week ago, and it was a great success. I appreciate all the workers. You know, Easter Sunday was a blessing to see so many come to the house of the Lord, and it's a blessing to see you here this morning. You know, we've got a lot of things coming up, and it takes a church that's willing to work together for the honor and glory of the Lord to have those things. So thank you, church. Thank you for your continued service, and thank you for your continued giving. Thank you for giving to the church and giving to the things of the Lord. Everything that's given here goes to the service and the work of the Lord. We believe that God has a plan for Hiram First Baptist Church. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for you here. If you're here and you're a part of this church, yes, God has a plan for you here. I tell people, if you don't have a church, find one. Get somewhere where you can serve the Lord. Here's why. Because time's going to run out. And when time runs out, our opportunity here is going to be over. And then we're going to be stepping into eternity. So if we're going to do something for God, now's the time to do it. Amen. I want to mention something to you, church. We need to keep in our hearts and our minds what's going on over in Ukraine. Let's pray for those people. Pray for those people. There are thousands of people that are being bombed over there, because if they bomb the civilians, then they think they can weaken them into surrendering. And that's terrible. It's a terrible way to go about a military conflict, but it's happening, and it's happening today. And I'll give you something else to pray for. Pray that God would stop Putin. You say, well, that's strong language. Let me say it louder. Let's pray that God would stop Putin. Because Putin is no different than Hitler, Mussolini, or Stalin. And we believe in freedom. And I've said this from the pulpit before. This is not going to be a political message, but I want to tell you something. Don't give up your freedoms. Amen. Don't vote your freedoms away because you think it gives you security, because it does not. Many, many, many graves have been filled with the lives of young men because they fought for you to have the freedoms that you have. We're free here. You're free to come to church. You're free not to come to church. One day you're going to stand before God. Time will be over. If you got your Bible, Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. I want to read just two verses, and I want to talk just a little bit about a living sacrifice. I want to read these verses to you. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Let's go back. I'm in the 13th chapter, so thank you. I'm thinking, what in the world has this got to do with what I'm going to preach about? All right. Let's go back over to the 12th chapter. It says, I beseech you, brethren. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to read that first verse again. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I want to come back to this, and we're going to go through this scripture, but I want to give you just a little thought. You know, our grandchildren and our daughter and our son-in-law have actually moved to where they're about half as far as they were before. And that's a blessing to us because I get to see them a little more often. We got to go down and help them as they were moving into their house down there. And, You know, my granddaughter is growing, and she's growing, you know, a little bit physically, but a lot mentally. You know, it amazes me how that the children's minds change so fast. And I got her up in my lap, and I was talking to her, and, you know, it was kind of difficult. She's got a mind of her own. She's not coming just because you want her to, you know. Sometimes you got to almost have to coach her into doing something. And I got her up, and I was talking to her, and it wasn't but just a minute. She was wanting to get down, and she was running around the house. And then we went outside, and I was, of course, telling her, don't get over there near that hole where they're digging. They're still building houses, and don't get in the street, and don't do this, and don't do that. And every time I tell her to do something, she'd just look at me. And I thought in my mind, don't you know that being with Pawpaw is the safest place you could be? Being in Pawpaw's lap is the most loving place she can be, but she doesn't stay long. She starts to wiggle and to squirm, and she wants to get down. And sometimes even when I get between her and whatever is supposedly to harm her, she'll try to find a way to go around. Because she's got a mind of her own. We'll come back to that. But I want you to consider this scripture where Paul says, I beseech you. If you look at that word and understand it, to beseech means to beg. And Paul's basically saying, I beg you. And then the scripture says, therefore. And anytime you see a therefore or a wherefore, it's a junctioning word. And I want you to understand that it goes back and it covers everything we've read in the book of Romans right up to this 12th chapter. Because things changed under Jesus Christ. You see, under the Old Testament, the sacrifice was a lamb that was slain and it was laid upon the altar, and the lamb would die and it would be a sacrifice that was acceptable. But we don't offer those sacrifices. We're under the new covenant. Under the new covenant, Jesus became the sacrifice for all of mine and your sins. See, he hung on a cross and he took the place of Barabbas, but not just Barabbas, but of you and of me. And he filled that sacrifice, that requirement forever, so that you and I would not have to die. And as Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, he's going back, and it's a reason that it's there. And I just want to walk through a couple of scriptures in the book of Romans to give you some context to understand why Romans 12, 1 and 2 is there for. If you go through the book of Romans, there's something that sometimes is used in evangelism called the Romans Road. Some of you may be familiar with that. One of those scriptures in the Romans Road that leads to salvation or evangelism is Romans 3:23, and here's what it says. So for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some of the scripture that I like that I often read and preach on is in Romans chapter number 5. It's verse number 8 and verse number 9, then maybe verse 12, verse 17 to 19. But listen to these familiar words. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, through Jesus. Then in the 12th verse, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, some people, it's going to be very, very difficult to reach them with salvation because they don't believe they're sinners at all. In the 17th verse of that same chapter, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And folks, that's through Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible tells us there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. You step farther in this Romans road and you come to Romans chapter 6 in verse number 23, and it says this: for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now folks, if you want a therefore, if you want a reason when we get back to Romans chapter number 12 to present your bodies a living sacrifice, here it is right here. You don't have to earn salvation. You don't have to work for salvation. It is the gift of God. And then if we go over to Romans chapter number 10, very familiar scripture. Romans 10 and 9. It says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, if we read these things and we read through the book here of Romans and we get to this point, Paul says, I beseech you, he's saying, I beg you, because of these things. Because of what Jesus Christ did, because of the gift of salvation, because you don't have to work for it, because you don't have to earn it, because of the sufferings of Christ, he says, I beseech you, or I beg you. And then he goes on to say, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Those mercies are the mercies that God has given to us as we go through this road to salvation, understanding that without Jesus Christ, we'd be sinners. Bound for eternal separation from God. And as he goes on to say, he says this, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Now, I want us to consider, as we look at this, three ways to offer our bodies living sacrifices. You know, there's something to understand about a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when the sacrifice was made, the priest would take the lamb and he would lay it upon the altar, and the lamb would be slain. And the lamb would be slain and it would lay upon the altar, and the lamb could not be removed from the altar because the lamb could not get up and walk off of the altar. But as a living sacrifice, you can wiggle off the altar anytime that you choose. And what Paul is saying is, he's saying to them, he said, I'm begging you, in light of the grace and the mercy of God, that you present your body. After all, it's a gift. It's not something you earn. That's not what we're talking about. But if we look at this understanding this morning, what should we be doing in our relationship with God? Because God has done so much for us. Number one, how do I offer my body? I offer my body physically. You know, he says that you present your bodies. That's flesh and blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says this. It says what? And it's a question mark. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, and therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, if my body is the temple of the Lord, and I said this recently, and I believe this, as Christians, that when you're saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit takes up abode in you, and you're born again. You're born again as a child of God. Everywhere that I go and everything that I do as a Christian, I am taking the Lord to that place. You see, if my body is the temple of the Lord, and sometimes you hear often people will even say, I gave my heart to Jesus. Where are you taking the Lord, and what are you doing with your body? Are you living in victory, or are you living in defeat? You see, as a Christian, one thing that I truly believe is you cannot live in sin and take Christ to all the places of the world and not pay a price. We're not saved because of what we do or don't do. It's a gift. But am I presenting my body as a living sacrifice? See, in the Old Testament, the lamb was slain and laid upon the altar. In the New Testament, the living sacrifice must decide whether or not it stays upon the altar. You see, if you study and you understand what it means to have a right relationship with God, you see, as we even study those that we think the most of, like Paul, he said, I die daily. You must die to the love and the practice of sin to present your body as a living sacrifice physically. What about number two? I offer my body mentally. Well, how do we do that? In the second verse, it says this, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The reason that a lot of times we can't control our body is because we are not attempting to control our mind. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, set your affections on things above and not on things upon the earth. You see, the scripture says here, to be ye transformed. Now, that means to be in the proper position for God to be able to do His work. The word transformed is the same word that's used to change, or we use the word metamorphosis. It's the same root as when Jesus was transformed before His disciples. You must be transformed. We must learn that if we don't ever make any attempts to control our minds, then we will never be able to control our body. Because the things that you think typically are the things that you do. Because the body follows the mind. Well, how do we win? We win by renewing our mind. David said in Psalms 31 verse 1, he says this, I made a covenant with mine eyes, why then should I think upon a maid? As we understand the story of David, there was a time when David was supposed to be going forth to battle with the kings, but he was not in the place that he was supposed to be. And he walked up on the housetop and he saw something that he would not have seen had he been in the place that he was supposed to be. See, David knew and he understood the things that he wrote about. When he wrote the Psalms and when he penned down the words, you find that David had experienced it. And if David had been in the right place, he would not have saw, it would not have went into his mind, because he had to see and his mind had to take over for his body to be willing to say, go and call that person to me. Why then is it important to control the mind? You say, well, I can't control my mind. You ever had a dream and you think, where did that come from? Thought pop in, whoa, where did that come from? Well, the question is, what do you do with it? Do you rebuke it and ask God to give you the liberty to have victory? Because if you do not, what will happen is if you continue to dwell on the things that are not appropriate, sometimes your body will follow your mind. You see, the fact is, in America today, there is no sacrifice in the thought patterns of the world. But Christians, we are not of the world, we're children of God. And the reason that a message like this is needful, as Paul stands before them, he says, I beseech you. He's saying, I'm begging you because of all the things that God has done for us, that we ought to be willing to give something back to Him for the blessings that He has given us. You see, what the world wants us to do is buy into the world's thinking that you're free to do as you please without consequence. But folks, that's not true. It wasn't true for David, and it's not true for you and for me. You see, you must get your thinking right if you'll ever control your body. And number three, and this also links right into this connection, in this second verse, he says, to be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've heard people say sometimes, looking at this scripture, they say that God's will has three different parts. And they say there's the good will of God, and God's okay with that. There's the acceptable will of God that God will just allow. And then there's the perfect will of God. But I don't think so. I think that the three go together because you're either in God's will or you're not in God's will. And if you're in God's will, then that is good. If you're in God's will, that is acceptable. If you're in God's will, then that is perfect. So what is number three? I offer my body spiritually. How do you do that? That means, God, I give you my will. And here's why it's important. If the mind controls the body, the will controls the mind. You say, well, I can't control it. The reason you can't control it is because your will is not right. Your will has not been determined and changed, that you are laying all on the altar of God and you have decided that I'm going to follow Him no matter what. I'm giving my life to the Lord. I'm giving my decisions to the Lord. I'm giving my future to the Lord. I'm giving the actions and the consequences of everything in my life over to the will of God. Because if we give our heart and our minds to the Lord, we must give them to Him spiritually. Because if you don't, you're going to always struggle in this body. And if your will is not right in your relationship with God, and if the will controls the mind, how will you ever expect to win if you aren't completely spiritually connected to the Lord? So the question that we must ask, the question that I asked, is, do I really want God's will in my life? Do I want God's will, that God would lead me, that God would guide me, that God would direct me? Do I want God's will in my relationships? Do I want God's will in the path that I will go in life, whether it be in work or whether it be in service? Will I go where God wants me to go? You see, there's a truth to consider, that living in victory with Jesus Christ means total surrender to Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to have victory, if we consider that this is our reasonable service. Go back to the first verse and look at the latter part of the verse. He said that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Or you could actually translate that as your spiritual act of worship. In John chapter 4 and verse number 24, Jesus was there, and a Samaritan woman came to Him, and she sat down on the well, and He talked to her. And as they began to talk, He offered her a living water, which is basically salvation, that she should be able to live forever. And they got into a conversation, and all of a sudden she got a little bit spiritual, and she said, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. But Jesus told her in the 24th verse, He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I know when we're talking about these things, it's easy to understand the body. We understand that. We struggle with that. It's easy to understand the mind. We struggle with that. I mean, you know, nobody knows what you're thinking, but God does. But when we get to the spiritual realm, it's a little more difficult to understand because we can't see it, but we believe that we're born again. We believe that we worship God in spirit and in truth. If we understand that it begins at the spirit to control the will, which gives us the ability to serve God in every other area of our life, then I guess what it boils down to is we must ask ourselves the question, have I really, not am I saved, but have I really surrendered to God? You see, the answer in the truth is, you can be in church every Sunday, you can sing, you can be baptized, you can take communion, you can give to the offering, you can even work in everything that's going on in the church. But because you are a living sacrifice, you can still wiggle right off of the altar. Just like my little granddaughter who gets up in my lap, and it's the safest place to be, and all I want to do is love on her. But it's not long till she wiggles down. You know, I'll be honest with you, it was tough for me to be able to preach this to you this morning. You know why? Because this is where we all live. This is what we all experience. And we're here and we're in an imperfect world. We have a perfect Savior. But what it really asks us to do is look deep inside of ourselves and examine our relationship with God to see if we've really surrendered our will to the Lord or not. Because if we have, we'd be able to live in more victory. You know, as I look at this scripture, and I want to go back to look at the first part of the scripture again, and we're going to have a song. It's not going to be long this morning. Paul, who wrote this to the Romans, and he gets down here to the 12th chapter, and he's written all these words, and he's gone through the plan of salvation, the need of salvation. He uses this word, I beseech you. He's saying, I beg you. You know, the only thing I know to tell you to help you understand that is personal relationship with God. But how many of you have ever had a conversation with someone that you love? And because you've loved them and you've helped them and you've tried to lead them, you've tried to guide them, and you know they're right on the verge of making a decision or doing something that would hurt them. And you even say, I beg you. Have you ever loved somebody that much? That's how much God loves you. More than I can possibly describe. So if I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice, I can't do it without these three elements. And it's going to begin right at the heart of my relationship with God. I'm going to ask you if you would to rise to your feet. They're going to play a song. I'll tell you the most important thing you'll ever do in your life, ever, 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 is accept Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe the second most important thing is this. If the first and most important thing is I accept Jesus Christ, okay, I'm saved, I'm not going to hell, I'm good. No. If you're ever going to be what God wants you to be, second most important thing, and this is more important than who you marry, it's more important than who you work, where you work, where you go to school, is you must surrender to God. Yes. And I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to be what you want me to be. And then I'm going to turn over my relationships to you. I'm going to go turn over what I do in my life, whether I go to school, what my career choices are, where I worship, where I serve. But God, I'm going to surrender. Yeah. Maybe this morning there's somebody here that just needs to surrender. As they play this song, would you please come if you'd like to talk to God?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love. and trust Him. In His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Forsaken, take me, Jesus, take.